This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
3:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. Yeah, I know it's not exactly exciting that it's Monday, but it is my birthday, so I'm a little happier about it being Monday. I got a cake, which was delivered from Laura Sylvester and her husband, Dave. Laura is someone that I'd like to say I discovered, but I just became aware of. Other people had discovered her long before I did, the Pie Safe Baking Company, and she has become our go-to baker, I'm telling you, for anything and everything, the holiday events and birthdays, and so I am so excited. She is trying with this cake. I just want to let you know, I'm taking a moment of personal privilege, as they say in Congress. She's trying to recreate my mom's chocolate chip cake. I loved my mom's chocolate chip cake, and I have not had it since my mom passed away. And Laura had reached out and said, well, you know, I'd love to do a birthday cake for you. And I said, oh, well, that'd be great. What would you like? And I told her, she said, oh, my gosh, you know, my mom also did a chocolate chip cake. So we're fingers crossed. I'm going to try it, and I'll post some photos, and I know it's going to be delicious. So I'm looking forward to that. Tomorrow, I'm looking forward to Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly is going to be with us tomorrow afternoon at 3:35 on Wednesday, which is going to be the not only the day after the debate, but it's going to be September the 11th. We're going to talk about 23 years ago, what happened as we saw these brutal, ugly terrorist attacks, slaughter of it's about 3,000 innocent people. We will be joined by Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. We'll talk about the debate and also Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, who was pressed into service at Ground Zero. So we'll chat about all of that. You know, the other guy in our area, I just want to give you the heads up, Carl Leonard, the sheriff of Chesterfield County, who has been part of the United States Coast Guard for 25 years, I think. He was also pressed into service immediately at Ground Zero. So we're going to try and chat with Carl as well. All right. We have been looking at VCU, and we'll be looking at UVA, where we have these unbelievably ugly growths of anti-Semitic activity. And, you know, we chat with Dr. Andrew Bostom on a fairly regular basis. Every few weeks or so, he writes another 10,000-page piece. It's amazing. He's a brilliant guy. And we bring him in to look at it. He's got something right now about this, his phrase, the taboo pandemic of Jew hate. Dr. Bostom, good to have you with us again, sir.
Good to be with you, Jeff, and have a very happy birthday. I hope it's going well.
It is. It's going well. Just got better because I am chatting with you, and you got some interesting stuff here. So we have been looking at growing anti-Semitism locally at VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, and UVA, University of Virginia. But you are seeing it all over the country, correct?
Yes. You know, and the perverse irony of this is that it mushroomed these anti-Semitic incidents on campus, you know, as well as across the country, but particularly on campus, mushroomed in the aftermath of October 7th. In other words, the carnage itself did not garner sympathy in a real sense on the campuses. It spawned these, you know, looks to be somewhat coordinated anti-Semitic incidents on campus. But According to the ADL, has the Anti-Defamation League was a clearinghouse for the for this, at least one of them, and they reported, according to, in the first 3 months after October 7th, just to give you the raw numbers, Jeff, they reported 400 anti-Semitic incidents on college and university campuses, compared to only 33 instances in the same period, the same 3 month period, you know, from October 7th, 2022 to December 7th, 2022.
Okay.
In 2023, that grew by almost 12-fold.
Oh.
And as you know, the Columbia, which has long had incitement from both its DEI trained professors and,
yep.
And frankly its Muslim professors, has been a hub of campus Jew hatred, and this persisted into the spring. If you remember, Columbia was forced to cancel its main commencement ceremonies, and there were a lot of outbreaks, through the spring into the graduation ceremonies. And so I was looking at some polling data that reflected back to the spring, and some of it's been out for a little while. Large numbers of Jewish students concealed their identity. In a poll, that was about 44%. 78% avoided certain campus events or locations or events on campuses. And then 55% had experienced physical threats or knew of someone who had. And so these polls were capturing, obviously, a significant uptake in hateful activity, but they gave no information in terms of what might be animating this. And people have pushed very hard about diversity, equity, inclusion, and I think that does contribute.
Mm-hmm.
But anecdotally, you could see that particularly the violent attacks. You have to be frank about it and clear from just what was, you know, the film you could see. They were often from Muslim students or Muslim infiltrators onto campus. And then I saw 2 weeks ago these very courageous investigators from Brandeis, which has its own issues. It's
yeah.
a very left-leaning campus.
Yep.
But it still has a strong Jewish studies department. These investigators, I guess they tapped into a large database that's pre-existing about college campus attitudes. And they used that organization that maintains this database to administer a very simple questionnaire, Jeff. It looked very much like the ADL survey data that I've been studying for close to 20 years now. Similar questions. Just to give you a few of them.
Okay.
This wound up being administered to 4,123 students, 313 of whom were Jewish. Just to give you a sense that they were targeting campuses that had sizable Jewish populations, but the focus of the study was on the non-Jewish respondents, and that was a little over 3,800.
Okay.
And they asked them questions like, "Do you agree with or believe that Jews in America have too much power? That Jews should be held accountable for Israel's actions? Jewish people talk about the Holocaust just to further a political goal." That other questions were more pointed. I wouldn't want to be friends with someone who supports the existence of Israel as a Jewish state, et cetera, et cetera. There were nine such questions to pretty straightforwardly get at anti-Semitic attitudes.
Yeah.
And the authors concluded that on a positive note, that there wasn't what they called a climate of universal anti-Jewish hatred. However, they felt that the student concerns about anti-Semitism were valid, and they were driven, quote, by what they said of about a third of students who held distinct patterns of beliefs about Jews and Israel. And in their own summary, they said identifying as Muslim was significantly associated with being either hostile to Israel or hostile to Jews, even after controlling for other factors. So they looked at all the other contributors to anti-Semitism, potentially, demographic factors, et cetera. And then what jumped out at me, because it was remarkably consistent with data that I've been writing about and seen published by the ADL for the past two decades, when they compared as a referent population, as a control population. Christians, for example.
Right.
Muslims were 2.6-fold more likely to harbor the most virulent anti-Semitism. That would be, in this survey, what they defined as a shared hostility to both Israel and Jews. And the reason that this jumped out at me is because, first of all, it kind of confirms
yeah.
this sort of unspoken reality. Just looking at the news footage or independent videos that particularly when you saw outbursts of violence.
Right.
But moreover, as we've talked about several times before, Jeff, this is the global pattern. Mm-hmm. In other words, wherever you look, certainly if you go to the Middle East and North Africa, you find there, according to the ADL survey, and remember, the ADL survey is very straightforward. It's 11 anti-Semitic stereotypes. If you agree with at least six, so if you agree with the majority of them or all of them, mm-hmm. you're defined as an extreme anti-Semite. And when they apply this survey scale, this definition, the 16 most anti-Semitic countries in the world, not surprisingly, are all in the Middle East and North Africa,
yeah.
where the low of this degree of anti-Semitism is anywhere from 74% in Egypt and Saudi Arabia to a high of 93%, again, not surprisingly, amongst the Palestinian Muslims. And ADL has applied this across Western Europe, in the United States, about 2014. And everywhere they've looked, and they've done it repeatedly in Europe, the range is about 2 to 4-fold in terms of comparing the excess commonality of this degree of anti-Semitism, comparing Muslims to Christians or other or non-Muslims in general. And so this 2.6-fold relative risk is right in that range. In other words, it's remarkably consistent with what ADL has reported independently across the world. So to me, it's very unfortunate confirmation that I think what is, I think appropriately, I don't think it's hysterical to say that this is a pandemic. It's reached our campuses. It's reached American campuses. And it's something that needs to be discussed because we're not going to be able to hide from it. And yes, we can talk a lot about DEI, and I personally believe DEI may inflame some of this. But I think it's now time to also look, I just found one example of this.
Yeah, let me cut you off for 1 second. Dr. Andrew Bostom is joining us. So here's where we wind up with this. We look at these numbers, we analyze these numbers. We are all, I would dare say, probably universally appalled.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Pulled by what we're seeing in this systematic growth of anti-Semitism, and we see this group as opposed to that group. But you know what happens? It's when push comes to shove, the question to you, Doc, is, so what do we do?
Right. Well, this is what I was thinking about in terms of what I've concluded about all the other avenues where this is seen, including in the United States, is mm-hmm. that there was one example. He's no longer at the University of Pennsylvania, but I did happen to see that a very anti-Semitic sermon given by an imam in California. He was the former Muslim chaplain at the University of Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And so Lord only knows what he was saying, because usually when they're on campus, they tend to be a little more discreet.
Right.
They will not give such an inflammatory sermon where it could be recorded, etc. But Lord only knows what they say to Muslim students privately. I think the search has to begin there.
Okay.
There are Muslim organizations on campus that have direct connections, you know, to the Muslim Brotherhood, to Hamas, right. et cetera. You know, what type of literature are they distributing? What type of lecturing are they giving? Some of this becomes dicey, Jeff, because a lot of it may be done in private. But I think it's part and parcel, I think, of what happens in mosques across the United States and in the major Islamic teaching institutions that are very mainstream in the Middle East itself, and the imams that are trained, for example, at Al-Azhar University, and they fan out across the world. In other words, this is just yet another example of the widespread nature of this anti-Semitism that's coming from the Muslim community. And we have to begin to talk about it and then go further, because I believe very strongly, having studied this now for 20 years, that a lot of it is religiously inspired. Of course, there's politics involved, too. But you know, it's very hard for Americans to fathom these anti-Semitic themes that are given in the course of what would be routine sermons, particularly on Fridays.
So
we would find it very difficult to discern.
Yeah, no, it is extremely difficult. So here's what I want to do. I mean, we always love having you on, and we always run out of time. Do me a favor, Doc. Remind everybody where they can read some of the things you have written. Remember, this is Dr. Andrew Bostom, a medical doctor by training, by profession, and has devoted, as he says, 20 years plus to looking at the growth of anti-Semitism around the world. But, Doc, what's the best website for people to check your stuff out?
So most of it, I'm very active on Twitter. So at right. Andrew Bostom is really where you can find everything that I'm doing, you know, almost, you know, day by day, moment by moment.
Okay.
This piece in particular that we're discussing, I wrote for something called the Gatestone Institute. I have several pieces that I've written over the last 6 months for them, so people can find some of those pieces there. And then my website, often includes, you know, most of the material that I'm working on, and that's just andrewbostom.org.
All right. Well, listen, I always appreciate you being here. That is Dr. Andrew Bostom. Always interesting insight. I mean, my gosh, your kids and my kids are on campuses as we speak. Your kids might be at VCU. They might be at UVA. They might be at any one of these college campuses where we are seeing so much growing anti-Semitism. And you just need to be aware of that. Jesse Jane Duff, Gunnery Sergeant, United States Marine Corps retired, is going to join us at 4:03. A little look ahead at tomorrow night's debate between the former president and the current vice president. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA.